Father God, we come to you this morning with anxious hearts, expectant hearts, for we expect you, God, to show yourself faithful to us, for you are so very faithful. You have never let us down. You have never abandoned us. And I pray this morning that we would just sense your presence here today, that as we gather together around your word and here together with one another, that ministry would take place. They would hear your heart from your word, and then we would be eager to go out into this world and serve you and serve others. So bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We all like new things, right? You know, I started thinking, you know, making a new friend is always exciting. Reading a new book, if you like to read. Or if you're into music, maybe listen to that new song or that new album. Something new, something different, something fresh. A newborn baby is always something that's almost irresistible. You know, the smell of that head. And just to feel those fingers and those toes, it's just so exciting to see what God can create. And what young child doesn't love to get a new bike? You know, a bike that they can ride around the neighborhood. You know, I like to rearrange things in a room. Make it fresh, make it new. My wife doesn't probably like it when I do that, but it just makes it something different. A rearranging, a changing. Maybe you're looking for a new job, just a new career, new opportunity. Guys, most of us like to get a new golf club to try it on the golf course, get that new power tool to work around the garage and the things going on there. Or maybe that if you're into music, a new instrument or a new piece of equipment to go along with the things that you deal with. Those things are exciting. And what woman doesn't love to get a new dress, a new pair of shoes, a new hairdo? I mean, goodness, that list can go on and on, the things that women like new in their lives. But the point of the matter is we like things that are new, like things that are fresh, that are exciting. See, in chapter 21, God is making something new. As if you've been with us in Revelation, it's been getting through all the beasts and all the things that are happening and all the wrath and all the negative. Well, here as we get into the rest of this book, praise God, it's going to be a beautiful picture. And here in chapter 21, God is doing something new. And in fact, in this chapter, we won't talk about it necessarily today, God himself says this, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, what believer wouldn't love to know and just be reminded of that God makes all things new? But sometimes God takes a while, doesn't he, to make all things new. But the ability is there. We must trust that God wants to do a new thing in our lives. And that's what I've titled today's message, a new thing, the potential, the possibility that God would take whatever it is in our lives that just doesn't seem to be working right and straighten it all out and make it new and make it fresh. Just like he did in creation, he created all these things. And I don't know if you remember, but 7 times in chapter 1, God says, "I create this and it was good." Things that God creates are good. Things that God makes are good, and they're new, and they're fresh. See, God loves to create. He likes to create things. And listen, what new thing does God want to create in you? Maybe you just need to be reminded of that this morning, that God wants to do a new work in our lives. Not that we can't be content with where we're at. Not that we can't be understanding, this is where God has me. I'm placed here. I'm confident in it. Whether it's easy or difficult or stressful or it just doesn't seem like things are going right. You're in God's will. And the potential of God doing something new in your life should motivate you to continue to walk with him. Amen? That motivation. God, you can do this. So look with me, Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read the first 8 verses, but we're only going to be looking specifically at the first 4 for today's message. 21 verse 1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these things are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So as we get into the beginning of chapter 21, absolutely new scene takes place. Absolutely new things that, two things John sees and things that John hears are the things I want to focus on this morning. Because God is doing a new thing. He's changing things up as we enter into the end of the millennial reign and the entering into the eternal time with God. And so John sees, as he looks, John has this experience that he sees these things and he hears these things and he communicates them to us. Now, we can read over those verses very quickly, but I just want to understand, as I've been trying to remind us of this as we've been going through the book of Revelation. Remember where John is. He's on the island of Patmos. He's been abandoned. It's in a prison. And John is seeing these visions. And John, as he looks and sees, what does he see? He sees God make a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know what it is like. I don't know how it's displayed to him, but for some reason, John is able to see these things. And to John, this but it must have been so very encouraging as he's sitting on an island in prison after serving the Lord all of his life. Many commentators believe he's 95 years old. And as he's looking around his physical condition and yet seeing a vision of a new heaven and a new earth, wouldn't that have encouraged him? Shouldn't that encourage us? That there's yet better to come. There's a lot of good things in our life, isn't there? There's a lot of things that we enjoy, a lot of blessings that we have, but there are also some difficult things in our life. There are also things that we might look around and go, man, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. I wish I didn't have to deal with this pain. I mean, those of us getting older, it's like, age is so hard. I can remember being young, and it seemed like life was in my grasp, and it's like, why didn't I enjoy it more when I was younger? Like, you young people, enjoy your life. It's fleeting. It goes away so quickly. But enjoy it. This is what John sees. He sees a new heaven and a new earth, and it reminds us that God is in the business of making things new. God is in the business of making things new. John is seeing a new world. He's seeing earth, if you will, version 2.0. This is not God remodeling this earth. No, he says in verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Gone. Removed. We'll see later in this chapter, there's not even any more sun. It's the glory of Christ that brings light to this new earth. However this new earth and this new heaven, which is our universe, is reconstructed, God is able to do it like that. Many go, well, how's God going to do that? How did God create it in the first place? He created it from nothing. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing." And that's a reminder to all of us that, guys, God can take our lives, no matter what's going on with them, and he can make them into something new, something fresh, something beneficial. If you're here this morning and you're discouraged because things aren't going your way, maybe it's financial, maybe it's emotional, maybe there's things that you want to happen in your life that just aren't happening yet, you've got to believe that God is still in control of your life. You've got to believe that God is still eager to open doors for you. I want you to believe this morning that God wants to do a new thing in your life. Because that's what he's doing here. He's doing a new thing that John is seeing. God is capable of making something new, a new season in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a lot of doubt that God needs to transform into faith, into believing. Maybe you're here today and you're weary, you're tired, you're wore out, and God needs to give you strength. That season may be coming for you. You've got to believe it. Maybe for you, there's fear in your life that God needs to transform into faith. My friends, there's a balance that we must have in our lives. That balance is whatever it is we're feeding is what's going to be growing in our lives. If you have fear, are you feeding that fear? Are you staying in that fearful state? Are you having fearful thoughts? Are you around people that nurture that fear? Or are you around people that encourage you in your faith to lift you up? You've got to find that balance to saying, I believe that God can do a new thing in my life. And then trust that God will do that. It's just, I always think in the spiritual realm, in our lives, that we're just this far away from a major breakthrough. This far away from turning that corner for you, whatever it is. Again, I talk about it being financial. Maybe you're having a hard time paying your bills. We've all struggled there. We've all been there. But maybe God's getting ready to open up a door for you. Or maybe you just don't think your life has value. Maybe you just don't think, what could God possibly use me for? I'm sure God can use all these other people, but not me. My friends, I stand here before you saying God can use you. God uses the least of these things in this world to profound the wise. And if you think you're the least, guess what? You're God's person. You're God's person. And he can do that for you. I love this statement. God loves to take a mess and turn it into a miracle. God loves to take a mess and turn it into a miracle. Maybe your life is a mess, but God can do something with that mess. Look, when you read your Bible, when you see the stories of God, people that God used, they were a mess. If God can use Peter, the apostle, for goodness sake, he can use any of us. He could use Paul, who fought against the church, he can certainly use us. Maybe you're a mess this morning that God's going to turn into a miracle. Because I believe when God can take a mess and turn it into a miracle, he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. We have to believe. I look at the Apostle Paul as a privileged apostle. He's the one that gets to witness these things. He got to see what the new heaven and the new earth are all about. He got to see those things with his own eyes. I think sometimes in our spiritual, we need to open our eyes to what God is doing. I think we get our eyes so focused on what's not happening or what bad is happening, and we're not focusing our eyes on the Lord and what the potential is. We need to be seeing something happening in our lives. I always think of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. What did they constantly say to Moses? Can't we go back to Egypt? Can't we go back to where at least we were fed? Can't we go back to that place of bondage, that place of difficulty, that place of slavery? They wanted to go back. When all they needed to do was enter into that promised land by faith. See, once we enter into the promised land, we don't look back at Egypt, guys. And once you get to that place of blessing in your life, you're not going to look back. You're not going to look back on those things. And if you keep your place in Revelation, because we'll come back there quickly, turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 65. Because Isaiah prophesied about what we're reading in Revelation 21. And he gives us a bit more of insight into what it's going to be like. It's Isaiah 65. We will pick up in verse 17. Isaiah 65, verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." I love what it says at the end of verse 17. It says, "And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." Won't that be a wonderful thing? Once we get into that place, that we can get to a place where we don't think about the past any longer, the former things any longer. I don't know about you, but sometimes I dwell so much upon the past, things that happened in the past, the former things that have happened in my life, certainly some good things and certainly some bad things. But here God's going to say, those former things, you're not even going to remember them. They're not even going to be an issue. When we get into the new heaven and the new earth, it's going to be so wonderful. We won't have any memory of anything that suffered, anything bad that happened in our lives. And it says, I will create. I will create. It's the same thing that God said in the beginning when he says, in the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. God started in the beginning creating, and here at the end, he's still creating. I have to believe that he's still creating in each and every one of us a new thing. He's still working. Guys, we just need to be patient. We just need patient and let God do the process. You know, whenever you create something or build something or cook something or whatever, it takes time. There's steps, there's procedures, and things have to happen. When you plant something in the garden, it takes time. It takes nurturing before something beautiful can grow. We have to wait and let God do that work in us. I've often thought that God doesn't allow the blessing to happen in your life until you're ready to receive it. Think about that for a minute. Until you're ready to receive the totality of that blessing, God's not going to give it to you. And so we must be patient because God's working on us, he's working on that blessing, and he's waiting for the two to come together. Many of us in this room have experienced these types of blessings in our past as God has done an absolute amazing work in our lives. We are also ones that God has created. Look at this verse. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.